Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. We appreciate you listening in. As always, I'm joined by the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny, how are you?
I'm mostly peaceful tonight.
Excellent.
Yes. Right.
Well, everybody's got a week in them sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes mostly you just peaceful. Get on one.
Mostly peaceful.
I was thinking about that today. My kids thought I was on one. Lasted about an hour. I was like, y'all gonna shape up. It didn't stick for long. Philip, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Good. Couldn't be doing better.
Good, good. Well, it's been a busy week. It always is, obviously. In this industry, it's more like a busy day. You know, we've talked about that before.
Ridiculous.
But, Johnny, there's a lot going on. What is top of mind for you right now?
So I made a news roundup, as usual.
Yeah.
And that was like 12 hours ago.
Oh, yeah. Ancient.
And it's already worthless. So I'm just going to read off some things that I just posted on my Slack channel.
Dave. I like it.
Coinbase reports that 60% of Fortune 500 companies are working on crypto projects. That's a lot.
65%?
60%. That's from Coinbase.
Yeah. That's a big number.
For the first time, an AI autonomous drone has beaten the human pilots in a global drone race.
I watched this race.
Yes. So AI-controlled drones impressive. Are taking over international competitions now.
It is. Watching that drone fly?
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
So that's a league, by the way. There's a drone racing league. I've heard pretty cool. First ever Tesla robots without a driver, has no driver seat, is spotted in Austin, Texas.
The robo-taxi.
Yep. There you go.
That's going to be interesting. I saw where Tesla is now delivering the vehicle directly to your house from the factory with no driver.
Oh, wow. For your car.
For your car.
That's cool.
Order a Tesla and it delivers itself.
AI has a new update, as usual, like always with the updates, but there's something kind of cool in this one. It's an AI call screening feature,
okay,
which allows you to either use an AI voice or your own voice, probably an AI voice. That way it transcribes the answer, yep, and it decides if you want to pick it up or not,
yep,
which is great for fraudsters. So
I think it would also be great for responding to, like, if somebody wants to leave you a voicemail.
Yeah.
To just be like, hey, sorry, we're not interested in this product. Remove me from your list. Yeah. If it just did remove me from this list so that I didn't get called by the same people repeatedly.
Then it says, I want to talk to your manager. Yeah. And then has a 20-minute conversation with them.
And then it goes, I'm an AI bot. Are you an AI bot? Yes, 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 yes. And they just go back and forth.
Yes. Right, exactly. They just talk, right. Then they'll go into that fax noise.
Yeah. Let's go into their own language.
Wait, how's that go again?
I do it backwards.
It sounds a lot like the old AOL connecting.
Yes.
Sound.
Yeah. Yeah. So Amazon is building humanoid robotic software. Of course they are.
Of course they are. Why would you not?
Google's Waymo robo taxis hit 700,000 trips in 2025.
And getting lit on fire.
And getting lit on fire. And still doing it. Meta is tapping nuclear power for its AI uses in the future, just with Constellation Fusion.
Every single one of these headlines 10 years ago.
Yeah, crazy.
Would sound sci-fi to someone like you had lost your mind.
Yeah, and this is Fortune. 60% of Fortune 500 companies are jumping into blockchain. So there you go.
Sheesh.
So yeah, a lot of crazy stuff, but. I'd also been, you know, there's a, these people are very on X. This army, the XRP army, mm-hmm, is very, let's just say, ubiquitous and also annoying as heck on X. They kind of overwhelm me. Mm-hmm. But I will say there's a lot of stuff going on with the XRP token and the XRP ecosystem, where it's all over the world, and it's not just small things. It like major company, like countries, like UAE, Saudi Arabia, Japan.
They're
talking about replacing
fire.
The Swift oil money stuff. So this is not financial advice, but I went and bought some more XRP like a fool because I just can't feel like it's just a small amount, but I don't want to feel left out. So I bought a
sometimes
small
I do that. I'll buy a small amount just so that it's on my
right. You're watching
on my watch list.
But yeah, so take a look at XRP. It's pretty wild. But Bitcoin also, my last thing is Bitcoin has been on a tear the last 45 days. Mm-hmm. It's topped $100,000 for more than 45 days, which has never done before. And also gold mining companies are starting to sell their gold to buy Bitcoin.
Interesting. Well, yes. I think that's a smart hedge for what is people that are in the gold business.
Exactly. And, you know, also, too, Bitcoin is very, very bullish is because the U.S. Treasury bought $10 billion of their buyback, and it's the largest we've ever bought back.
Yeah, and like buying your own debt with your own worthless money.
It's fantastic. So, you know, just saying, you know, well, for every scary thing, there's a silver lining. So,
well, still only 21 million Bitcoin.
21 million. It's an absolute.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll talk more about everything that's going on in the world today.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. Happy to have you here. Johnny and I are talking about the future, really, which is
the present and the future.
Yeah, the future is now. Mm-hmm. There's some wild stuff going on in the world. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we're going to stay on track with what we have planned for today. Johnny, tell me what's going on with that crazy tech company.
Well, let's let Xena
give us a
breakdown of Palantir and the LA riots. So can you please play the Xena report, please?
Hey, listeners. Agent Xena here on Beyond the Blockchain. Let's dive into the latest tech storm brewing in Los Angeles, where federal immigration raids and protests are colliding with a shadowy tech giant, Palantir. Buckle up. This one's a wild ride. Picture Palantir as a super smart librarian with a digital magic crystal ball. Founded by Peter Thiel, this company builds software that sucks up massive piles of data, like tax records, medical claims, even your social security info, from government agencies and private companies. It then organizes this data into neat, searchable files, like turning a messy closet into a color-coded wardrobe. The Trump administration is leaning hard on Palantir's Foundry platform to merge data across agencies, potentially creating a master database on every American. Think of it as a digital dossier with your life's details, ready to be searched at the click of a button. In LA, protests against ICE raids turned chaotic, with National Guard troops and even 700 Marines deployed, moves criticized by Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass as overreach. Palantir's tech is fueling these operations, raising alarms about surveillance overdrive. Critics say this could be a step toward Big Brother, especially with Palantir's past work tracking immigrants and its ties to predictive policing, which some claim targeted minority communities unfairly. Palantir insists it doesn't unlawfully spy, but privacy advocates aren't buying it. So what's the takeaway? This clash in LA highlights a tug of war between security and privacy, with tech like Palantir's at the heart. For American citizens, it's a wake-up call to demand transparency on how your data's used. For crypto investors, Palantir's stock is soaring, but centralized data systems could spark a backlash, boosting demand for decentralized blockchain solutions that prioritize privacy. Stay sharp and keep questioning who's holding your data's keys. This is Agent Xena signing off. Catch you beyond the blockchain.
Well, that's like everything we talk about, moderately terrifying if it goes wrong.
Highly useful. Yeah. Palantir is very good at what they do. I will say I do own stock in Palantir. Mm-hmm. Our friend Agent X told me 2 years ago when it was $17 a share to buy as much as you can, and I didn't do it. So, Palantir is... It's a software that makes sense of AI. It's what Agent Eck told me was, he literally called me up and said, I just saw an interview, the CEO of this company called Palantir. It's the first thing that I've understood that says someone knows how to use this AI magic. And I thought that was fascinating because they created the software to be able to make sense of the large data.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that can be terrifying, which is why I like to watch AI Bigfoot videos.
Yes. The Stormtrooper ones are pretty good too. Yeah.
The decentralized nature of entertainment,
yes,
ramped up through the roof this week or past week,
yep,
with VO3 coming out.
Yeah.
The stormtroopers are gray. It's if anyone hasn't seen it, look up AI video vlog, and it's essentially it's a first person view from someone giving a vlog, just like a modern person would. Yeah. And they talk like modern vloggers, except it could be Bigfoot, could be Jesus,
or could be an alien.
Could be an alien. Yeah. Could be George Washington.
Yeah,
like I've seen all kind of crazy ones.
Yeah,
but alien. They are gaining millions of views.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I wonder how trademark is. Well, the Bigfoot wouldn't be a problem. The stormtroopers would be a problem. People are getting paid on these channels these things.
I think you would have to be such a big fish that Disney would care.
Well,
because Disney owns Star Wars now.
Well, look, man, I get in trouble when 100 people listen to a YouTube thing and there's a song in the back.
Yeah, but that's a little different.
No, but you get popped. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get popped.
Well,
on a copyright.
What I mean by that is, they can track the music. They can't track the visuals yet to know if something is a...
Okay, well, but I will tell you, if they're already getting millions of views, they got a letter from Disney.
Look, if I was Disney, I'd be like, make more.
Of course you would.
Make more.
But you know the whole thing about the piracy thing of why they have to go after the home for, you know, children, but with the mural, they didn't get the Disney rights to it. It's because, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You have to go after everybody the same way. The guy who's making a million, you know, fake Disney shirts in China, you go against that person the same way you go against, you know, the orphan's home that has the Beauty and the Beast.
You know, one thing Disney has not been able to stop? People making their own Disney character shirts and wearing them to Disney World. Like non-licensed product.
What are you going to do? Make them go topless?
Exactly. That's my point is like...
Palantir needs to get over there.
That is something.
And they can do facial recognition and shirt recognition and get all that stuff dealt with.
Yeah, they sure could do that.
Yeah. I will say one thing quickly about the Palantir thing with the LA riots. So I asked a cyber person, not the person we know together, but somebody else. And I was like, give me an idea of how possibly the police or ICE are using this. He said, real simple. There is probably a software on their phone or an iPad or something on their camera. It literally records faces and gait walks the way that you walk. Mm-hmm. It literally finds that person's face or their gait walk, which is so crazy to me, at that moment pulls all that information from any database, of course, all the police stuff, but they also scrape your social media immediately and do an AI summary and says this is who this person is.
And it also gives them a report on where your phone has been located before.
In seconds.
Like this person has been at 13 other protests.
Seconds. Oh. In seconds. Yeah. So because we were watching, my wife and I were watching on one of the news channels last night, and I was like, all of a sudden these federal guys were just running after this dude. In LA, just running after this guy who'd been yelling at, you know, whatever. And I'm like, wonder why they're like the feds are going after him and not the state, you know, the LA cops, right? Okay. And I was like, oh, yeah, I bet they did Palantir on that guy. And that guy's got a warrant on him. And they just like tackled that dude.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I bet they did use some weird facial recognition thing on that guy.
Probably did. You know, the idea of using the gate was how we found confirmed that Osama bin Laden. Was inside the compound.
I think I remember that too. Your gate, man. How crazy. But
I know how I walk. Like people have told me, like,
but
they
you have to have a baseline. How do they get the baseline for? That's what's so crazy to me. How do they get your baseline to know how you walk?
Because with everybody else, they scanned you.
Because the CCTV from other places that they tagged you and then they follow you.
Your gait can be matched to similar gaits. You know, all you know, just have a database of all human gaits and it's soon to be one more like another and then match it up.
That's nuts. That's nuts, man.
Yeah, I mean, there is no privacy. Privacy's been
I understand that. Privacy's been dead for quite a while. Yeah. But and the idea of you thinking you're holding back your. Okay, let me go back real quick. This Palantir stuff is shadowy and scary and all those flowery words, you know, all those scary words, right? But I mean, we literally live in a culture that gives all of your personal information on all of these social media channels.
Yep.
Like literally, counterintelligence in China and Russia in the 80s could never have come up with something so brilliant as to spy on everybody from what social media has become. It's unbelievable what you freely give the world about your life.
I would say two things about that. One, I think the average person overestimates how much anyone else gives a care about anything they post. And the opposite is also true, that they may not care until they decide they do. And when they decide they do, all your stuff's out there.
But every time I keep hearing something of like, I'm inconsequential, I'm this, it's not always the case. That like
well, that's what I'm saying. You always are until you're not.
Right. Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're off the database to come looking for you.
Until
And there's a simple way to do certain things. Like, first of all, back off a lot of that stuff, number one. Number two, you know, like for our jobs, we kind of have to. Like, I'm terrible at it. Like, we have a radio show, and I'm terrible about promoting it on social media. How bad is that? But, like, one thing I did learn was to also fake it out. Like, check in places that you aren't. Like, put up videos hours after you've left somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways that you can, like, kind of hide your life.
Well, it's like you don't share your vacation photos until you're home.
Not during the vacation.
Burglars know you're not at home.
Right. It was like the whole thing about somebody robs your house when you're getting married or playing an NFL football game like there was about a year ago.
Oh, there's a great story about that. Ties into L.A. riots.
Yeah.
Macklemore, the artist.
Oh, defund the cops or whatever.
Yeah, he's the defund the cop guy. Anyway, his house got robbed this weekend.
That's terrible.
And he called the police, obviously. But the local PD, whatever, it's one of the small towns outside of L.A., the local PD responded and said, you know, this is what he said, but we responded. And somebody said, I hope you took your time. And they did like five winky faces. Like the police department responded with five winky faces.
That's what you get. That's when I always tell somebody is like, you're not anti-cop until when you need them, you're going to be calling them. I always say about people that are anti-gun.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're anti-gun. What if we're in a building and you know I have a gun and somebody comes in as an active shooter and you don't have one? Where are you running to? Yeah, you're anti-gun when it's convenient for you to be anti-gun.
That's right.
So real simple.
That's right.
Life is tough, man.
You got to get yourself out of tough spots.
You have to do proactive things and you have to do reactive things. You have to learn how to do both things.
So there was a time I was out of town for work, and this guy says, aren't you worried that I'm a serial killer? I was like,
oh, wait a minute.
I've told you this story.
Yes, yeah.
And I responded with, well, if two of us were in the same place, that'd be pretty weird, wouldn't it?
That's not possible. The odds are two serial killers in one car. Yeah. That's not possible.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, and then I promptly walked away from the conversation.
Yeah. I was like,
you can only bluff that so far, you know.
Again, how is it we don't have? Well, I'd be interested to see the database of all the serial killer stuff that FBI has. It's probably so archived and archaic. It would be like terrible to look at. Like, this is what you have on a Linux machine that.
Well, I would love
from 1986.
Some of these
on a floppy disk.
No, well, most of them are just hard files. They're not even digitized.
Right. Yeah.
But that's a good question. Has there been a substantial decrease in serial killings since there's a camera on every corner?
Yeah. Well, again, that is a good question to ask AI.
we'll ask during the break.
Well, I mean, you had a great idea back in the day. It was like maybe a year or 2 years ago when you're talking about how AI and how these like online communities could use a cloud service and take these cold cases of murders and let all these like home sleuthers and podcast
crowdsource, you
know, true crime podcast junkies, like crowdsource, like finding maybe these killers, you know. If anything, it'd be a good like network TV show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like put it on the blockchain.
And huge reward.
Let everybody have access to it.
Like huge reward. Yeah. Like gamify the heck out of it. Yeah.
Yep. Like, if, you know, there's probably hundreds of millions of dollars in rewards.
Oh, just
available.
Sitting there. Just sitting there.
Just for bounties.
Yeah, but hold on. If you are finding serial killers of cold call, you don't think you could like talk to a Peter Thiel or a Elon Musk and say, will you put $1 million up for this? Of course they would.
Of course they would.
They were like, are you? Yes. And they call it the $1 million serial killer hunt or whatever. .com.
That sounds.
.ai.
You know who needs to do that?
Gamify.com.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast, that's right. Yeah, there you go. Well, he might be one of them. I think that guy's shadier than what he is.
You know, that's a longer conversation, but I'll have it with you. All right, folks, we're going to come back on Beyond the Blockchain in just a minute.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Welcome back, folks. It's a Tuesday night, which means it's Beyond the Blockchain, where Scott and Johnny and Phil sit around and ruminate about the world and what we have to say about it.
Perception and simulation.
There you go. Perception and simulation. We've got some more stories coming up. I know you've got Agent Xena tasked on something else.
I do. There's a lot of information, and we hear it a lot about AI taking jobs.
Yep.
Which may or may not come to pass. But Xena, I asked Xena to look into something that was AI needs to be trained properly because you need to know how to use this AI tool.
Yeah, of course.
And what companies are doing wrong and what they need to do right to get their workforce to get excited about AI skill learning. So Phil, run that, please.
Hey there, listeners. It's Agent Xena on Beyond the Blockchain. Today, we're diving into the world of AI adoption, inspired by insights from Google's CEO Sundar Pichai and the real-world challenges companies face. Picture AI as a shiny new tool in your toolbox, not a robot overlord stealing jobs, but a helper to make work faster and smarter. Pichai says AI is like a supercharged engine, boosting productivity and sparking new ideas, not wiping out half the workforce. But here's the catch. Rolling out AI isn't like flipping a switch. Companies often trip up because workers are confused, training feels like a boring lecture, or folks fear AI will take their jobs. So how do you make AI a workplace win? First, find your AI champions, those eager beavers who love experimenting, and let them inspire others. Swap dull theory for quick, hands-on training, like 15-minute sessions with real-world examples. Make it fun with rewards, like turning AI use into a friendly game. And tackle fears head-on. Reassure your team AI is here to zap tedious tasks, not their paychecks. Track progress and offer help channels to keep everyone on board. For American workers, this means AI can be your sidekick, not your rival, if companies invest in clear training and support. For crypto investors and the industry, smart AI adoption can streamline operations and spark innovation, making blockchain businesses more competitive. The big lesson: AI's power isn't in the tech alone. It's in empowering people to use it. This is Agent Xena signing off. Stay curious and keep exploring Beyond the Blockchain.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. It's a topic that everybody's going to have to wrestle with. That's why the best thing you can do is be the AI expert at your job.
But can you convince AI to manage itself without it blackmailing you?
Possibly, but the one thing is you have to find your AI superstar within your company that wants to learn it.
Yeah, but you got to be that one.
You delegate it to somebody who, like, say you're an older person that's a CEO that knows you need to do this. You probably would, if that's not your bailiwick, if that is not your skills, then you probably should go find someone that really wants, or you need to find that person to do that, because it would be also better than the boss telling everybody to do these lessons and having someone within the bullpen tell them that way as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all answer, but I don't see any way around the massive job loss coming. I can't find the...
You're right.
I can't find the multiverse where that doesn't happen. There is one, certainly, probably with it ending. But
again, I know... and. A lot of people we've talked about that are big techies say, I can see the next 2 years, but I can't see the next 10 years because I just can't see how things are going so fast. Yeah. But there was so much. I mean, like, I studied a lot on the radio people when TV was coming out and the things they said, and none of it actually came true. Mm. And then especially the world of the internet. They said the internet was going to destroy everything. They created like 100 times the jobs.
But we've never been able to... We're going to have to retool the work we do. And what happened with those other transitions were they were happening at the same time.
They were
overlapping, right?
Okay.
Radio didn't disappear when TV existed.
Right. Well, right. That's kind of what I was saying. Okay. It's the idea of email did not get rid of the post office.
No.
Post office is still here. It's been here for quite a while. Same thing with Bitcoin. It's not going to change money the same way. It's changing money, but there will still be currency.
But here's where the change happens.
Okay, all right.
When I can use an AI agent for $5,000 that replaces 10 people,
Right.
Those 10 people then have to retool.
Sure.
And find something else to do. So here's my point. There is no discussion on what retooling needs to look like. So in the short run, the social destabilization is going to make the LA riots look like a trip to Disneyland.
There's a lot of people who just simply aren't tech savvy. They just aren't. They have various, you know, skills, but it, you know, right? Tech skills, not one of them.
And those are going to be the people who are going to be.
Well, I hate to say it.
That's going to happen.
But that's like saying the idea of the Industrial Revolution. Like, I am not very good with a machine. Well, you had better be good with your hands in a field. I mean, look, I don't know. Look, I told you, I come from the land of jesters and drunks. I don't know what the future looks like, man. But, you know, it is. We don't know. Look, it's not as dark. Like, you're putting a very pretty dark picture out there.
Yeah, and I got a dark feeling about it right
now. Well, then enjoy the day now.
But it's so universal. The technology is, there's no comparison.
The technology is so beyond
anything in all of history that we've ever seen. It's not even a comparison.
I guess.
But to your point, those who live locally along the Gulf Coast, they're not going to experience the social unrest.
We're 5 years
in other places
behind everybody. Look, we live in a world. Look, that's true. We're 5 years, 2 to 5 years behind everything. So you can at least see things coming in larger markets and say, I cannot start preparing for this. Because you're right. There will still be, I would say, you know, HVAC and electricians and plumbers and people who make stuff and fix stuff will still be fine for quite a while.
Yeah,
except that the number of people that can pay for their services will be drastically lower. Won't be able to do it.
Yeah.
So you may not fix your HVAC.
Well, again, that was the whole discussion of UBI. I mean, you know,
David Sachs came out. No, Scott Bessent, Secretary of Treasury.
Universal basic income, people.
Yeah. He said that's a socialist dream and it will never happen.
Well, and every time they've tested it, it's been miserable. But also, there's been an option because they're trying to see if this works for the future when we live in a present. But if you are desperate, you will take UBI and will work however it works.
So the only path I see here is that there becomes some kind of AI tax on AI companies.
Right, because they're making so much money. Again.
And it's like, and you treat it like.
So we're social welfare.
Like
social
welfare. The Middle East does, where everyone gets a royalty check on the oil. Or like in Alaska. Everybody in Alaska gets a royalty check based on the oil.
Right.
There's going to have to be some kind of AI tax.
Yeah, UBI.
but how long does it take to get that through Congress?
Yeah, I don't know.
And how many people, lose their homes in the process?
Right. It's going to have to get so bad before it gets better. Like, that's anything.
Yeah.
But look, that's why we talk on this. Like, we're telling people now.
Yeah, that's why.
Learn how to prompt engineer. That's right. And to be honest, someone saying I'm not tech savvy, that is the whole point of AI. You can talk things into existence.
Yep.
You need to learn how to talk. You use the language of AI. And by the way, there are tens or maybe hundreds of free resources on the internet right now of how to AI prompt.
Thousands.
Yeah. And they're free. I mean, literally free.
So. Everybody's getting tech savvy.
Well, it's the idea of, like, if you can talk something into existence, you have to learn how to properly tell it what to do. It's not coding. It's literally concepting, figuring it out, and then prompting it into it by talking, speech to thing.
Mm. So I saw somebody posted this, and I can't remember who it was, but it said, and I'm on this plan, that this is the era of the idea guy.
Right, the conceptor.
Yeah, yes. Because before you didn't have the tools or the skills,
or you would need a team. You need 100 people to do something when it's like, oh, well, we only need 3 now because that's equivalent. Yes. Well, again, when are we going to have the first full feature-length movie from someone who writes it, directs it, and makes up these people and does it in,
My prediction is before Mid-Journey, the end of the year.
The Mid-Journey is one of them.
Mid-Journey, VO3, Flux.
VO3, right.
Yeah, I saw Mid-Journey advertising on Facebook.
I would say before the end of the year, there'll be one streaming on a platform, on a major platform, that's completely AI-generated.
Yeah.
And I think within 3 years, It's going to win an Oscar for special effects. An AI movie is going to win the Oscar for special effects.
What is amazing is people who make decent indie films and small budget films can now have the ability to like make a true
real
space movie.
You can make a $100 million movie.
Right, right.
Which is still low budget.
Right.
For $1 million.
Yeah. Easy.
Easy. Probably $100,000.
Easy. So, so again, as we were talking before, it's going to get overrun and terrible down the road because it's going to be overplayed and too much. Yeah. But like I said before that, there's a golden age. There is a golden age of
decentralized entertainment.
Money
is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because we're done with the gatekeepers. You don't have to ask anybody's permission to create your videos and your content.
Yeah, you need talent, resources, and time.
Right. And before, if you wanted to get on TV, what you got to go through? You got to get
ridiculous.
You got to get the execs to buy. I mean, none of that stuff. That's gone.
No accountant's giving you creative notes.
Nope. All right, folks, when we come back, we'll go to segment four, which is
Beyond
the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Welcome back, folks. We're in the final segment of Beyond the Blockchain, and this is where we go off the rails, if we weren't already off the rails normally by now.
The rails are normally long
We had some very logical discussions tonight.
Where are the rails?
Yeah, we haven't seen those in a while. That's okay.
Somebody say rails?
Yeah, that's what I hear. Moving on. Back to this decentralization of entertainment, because I don't want to just stop there. If you want to create your TV, your favorite TV show,
you can now create your favorite TV show
in your brain. Whatever your imaginary childhood friend was, you can describe it to AI using words.
Well, hold on. It's not as easy as that. You know that. You have to have the.
It takes skill.
Right. But you.
But you can learn.
In the prompt. But then you have to know what tool to use to be able to use that prompt in that tool.
That's right.
But my point is,
my point is the tools.
Trust me, it's not as easy. I've tried it. I've tried this thing where I'm like, make me a video game or so. It doesn't. You have to have the tool that you know how to prompt because it saves. Now, I'm not saying you can't. You'd have to talk in the idea of the tool first and then what you're trying to create. See what I'm saying? That's why you try to find the tool first.
Ask your AI which tools.
What tool do I use to make a movie from scratch?
Yeah, give me the list of tools I need.
Yeah, right.
Are there free versions?
Yes.
Is there open source version of this? Like, if you know the right questions
Again, start with the idea of like, oh, I don't know. Well, it's real easy. Ask AI, how do I get started by doing this?
Yeah, in the break, I asked AI if there was a decrease in serial killers.
Yeah, well, I just asked.
What did it say?
Uri Geller.
Yeah. So
brought up Uri Geller.
So there's a substantial decrease in serial killers since the 80s. They think surveillance cameras is part of it, but they also think DNA and police work.
Oh yeah, DNA and also you can't take your phone with you. Technology has helped a lot.
Although it also said that it's estimated that there's very good serial killers who can kill at will.
We don't even know.
Because they have avoided detection.
Sure.
Like they are specific about what their target is in a...
Well, hints on the... the ones that kill differently all over the country.
That's also what it said was the decrease in hitchhiking has greatly impacted this.
Well, also, there's enough movies out there where I think everyone's a serial killer out there. I just assume you're a serial killer when I deal with you.
It makes good TV.
Yeah, it is, and some of it's like, I can't believe that's on, would have been on, that's HBO or Showtime. But like, even when I'd watch CBS, let's say 10 years ago, and I might have DVR'd it or whatever, right? I'd be like, I can't believe this is on network TV. This is really dark stuff.
I don't know, man. Remember Unsolved Mysteries in the 80s?
Dude, hold on. Have you watched Hannibal?
No.
The TV show Hannibal that was on NBC?
Yeah.
I can't believe that was on network TV. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I couldn't, like, holy moly, like, I can't believe they're showing that.
Well, I don't know how you would tone down a story about Hannibal to
Again, I will give them credit for the idea of, like, well, boy, do they make that exactly like I would imagine. You know, like, that's pretty gross, horrific stuff.
You can thank the X-Files for that.
Do you enjoy a nice Chianti while you watch the show?
Yeah, I'm Papa Beans. The funny thing is, I hate horror movies.
Okay.
I love them.
But I love killer movies.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
But not like slash em ups, though. More like the Zodiac Killer, like, you know, like The Hunt of the Zodiac Killer, or, you know, about the cat and mouse between the cop and the serial killer.
Whodunit.
Yeah. Whodunit.
Like Mindhunter was so darn good on Netflix.
I have watched that. Yeah.
And they're not making a third season. How? Come on.
That was a good show.
That was very good. It was very expensive to make. That's why. Again, AI might help that out.
Could we get a reboot?
Yeah. Also, maybe the idea also I said was with some of these AI that they can render things, it was like taking my favorite movies that are live action and making it like anime. Like, I talk anime or in the form of Pixar, or how cool would that be? It's like, you know, show me a noir version of this great movie.
What I would be interested in seeing,
or PG-13 down from R.
Or when people do mashups like they do with music and they say, like, okay,
yeah,
take this Disney film and write it like Stanley Kubrick would write it.
Exactly.
Write Bambi in the voice of Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
That mom dying scene gets a lot different fast.
Oh, yes. It all ends up in a strange elitist sex orgy at the end of Bambi.
Yeah.
Like it didn't. Eyes wide Bambi.
Eyes wide Bambi. Yes. A clockwork Bambi.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Too many things we can have fun.
You know, talking about conspiracy theories and beyond, you know, and Kubrick was very old when he made his last movie was
Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. And he died before it actually finished. And a lot of people say that he was taken out because he showed too much of the world of the elites.
Exposing the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was actually in Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a strange, went to ad school with him, and he just, they needed some goofy guys to walk. He was one of the guys that pushed Tom Cruise on the ground when he went to go get his tux.
Big time.
So it's a big deal. And that guy was a big film buff and got to be in Stanley Kubrick's last movie. That's pretty big.
I'm not knocking it.
And he actually made the film because, you know, he cut like 200 hours of that thing.
Right.
He made 200 hours of filming and he cuts it down to what, you know, 202 minutes or something. That's crazy.
Yeah. Made the cut.
Made the cut, baby.
Good for him.
I
was curious where you were going with that.
What? Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, well, you were like, got a friend. He was.
Oh, no, he wasn't. Like, no, but he wasn't an elitist in strange orgies wearing masks.
That's what I was.
Weird stuff. No, he was just a dude.
Just a dude.
Knocked down Tom Cruise and called him a sexual pejorative.
Mm.
And then.
Can't use that word anymore.
No, cannot. Can't do it.
I don't even know which word it is, but I know you can't use it.
Sexual pejorative?
There's a lot. I got six or eight come to mind.
Sexualpejorative.com. Right, see if that Phil, see if that's available. I don't know if I can spell pejorative though. That's my only problem.
P E jorative.
Yeah, jorative. Yeah, jorative.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to try. I think I would get.
We were going to talk about Uri Geller, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yeah, talk about Uri Geller.
So, if you don't know, Uri Geller is a famous mentalist that I saw in the 70s and the early 80s on the Johnny Carson show. He would bend spoons, and he said he could tell the future, and he did this one thing about stopping watches all over the world on Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson. Well, I haven't heard this guy's name in quite a while, other than I think he was suspected of being a Cold War spy for a while, in like maybe the 80s or 90s.
Sure.
Blah, 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 blah. He's all over X. Like, all of a sudden, he's everywhere. And he's making predictions of like dirty bombs and Iran. And then he's Jewish. He didn't like what Greta Thunberg was doing with that selfie yacht flotilla. And so he told on X that he is using his mental powers to screw up the navigation system of her flotilla. So Uri Geller, God bless, you're still out there in breaking news. Uri Geller is still alive.
There's no sexualpejorative.com.
There you go. Sexualpejorative.com.
Somebody should jump out there and do some domain squatting.
I know that you're at Geller.com because I went to it earlier to see if, what he was up to.
Of course there is.
But Uri Geller.ai, I don't know.
Ooh.
Create a Uri Geller AI that can do predict the future using Uri Geller's mysticism and AI.
Yeah, what was Johnny Carson's guy?
Karnak.
Karnak, yeah.
The great Karnak.
Yeah. Oh, somebody should do the great Karnak AI.
I miss Johnny Carson.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you next week on Beyond the Blockchain.